Women's View Radio starts now.
Welcome back. It's Women's View Radio, and I'm your host, Louise. And we have a very, very, very special guest. It's been a long time, but I'm so glad she's back on the program, Vicki Trebosch. Now, Vicki is a very special person, and I'm going to give you a little bit of something. She is a teacher and, to me, a healer in many ways. She teaches women wisdom, wealth equals success. Okay, executive coach, gifted multi-vocational speaker, author, co-founder, and president of Itafari Foundation. Now, welcome to the program. Vicki, are you there?
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
You're on the road. Thank you for having me today.
So you're on the road right now, too, huh?
I am. I'm down in Tucson, Arizona, so I apologize if the connection isn't great, but you know what? I always know that it's the best it can be, and that's all we have to care about.
There you go. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, although we have kind of plastered everywhere, but it's nice to hear it from you.
Sure. Thanks so much. So I am, I don't know why I'm mentioning my age, but I'm 56 years old, and I have been an executive coach for the last 10 years. But when I look back at my life, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a nurse, and I never went into nursing school because I realized there was way too much science for my liking. But I realized much later that that desire to be a nurse was really about helping people. And I became an accountant because my mother suggested it, and my mother was always right. And even as an accountant, when I got married in 1981, I became a guardian conservator for the elderly. So I made healthcare decisions for people, and I managed finances. But, you know, it always ended up that I was taking care of people. I did that for over 20 years, ran a trust department for a large bank in Portland, Oregon, and then in 2003, became a full-time executive coach, added speaking, added the foundation for Rwanda, added a book, added my own radio show, and I just think when you look through all of that, you see this golden thread. It's all about helping others, and when we do that, we help ourselves.
Absolutely. You're the author of Dead Rita's Wisdom, Simple Words, to help you live an extraordinary life. And then we had that on, it's been quite a while ago. The wisdom hasn't changed, though, guys. It's still good. Anyway,
it's ageless, isn't it? Real wisdom is ageless.
It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful journey. I'll do this. What you've done, and I'm not sure. I don't know if you're doing this now, but the bricks. We had a lot of people who were very interested in the bricks for Rwanda women.
Sure.
Tell everybody a little bit about that, because many of our listeners now may not have been there.
Sure. So, my mother died in 1998. Her name is Rita, and I call her very affectionately Dead Rita, only because I talked about her so often after she passed away. People asked me about her, and when I would have to tell them she was dead, they were rather shocked, but trust me, it was shocking to me too. But in 2004, I was asked by a boss to go to Rwanda, an old boss of mine, and I said, sure. And I told my husband, John, I said, John, I'm going to Rwanda. And he said in his very wise way, Vicki, where is Rwanda? I said, I don't know.
And hold on, we'll be right back. Hold on, we'll be right back. I guess we're back on. I don't know what happened. Oh, are you there?
I am here. I never left.
We started hearing music, and I thought, oh, wow. So something went wrong there. Anyhow, let's go back to Dead Rita's Wisdom. By the way, I don't know if you're still selling the book, but people should definitely get it. And it's
an
extraordinary book. Extraordinary.
Well, thank you very much. And it's, so anyway, I was able to
my husband said, he asked me all about Rwanda. I knew nothing about Rwanda. But you know the way the world works. 6 months later, I was asked by the same boss to come to a lunch. And I went to the lunch, and there was a room of about 20 people and one African woman. And I walked up to her, and I said, my name is Vicky Trabash. She said, my name is Rita Garambi. And I said, oh, Rita is my favorite name in the world. That was my mother's name. And she looked at me, and she said, I will be your mother. And, you know, we are the same age, but there's a connection that happens between people that changes your life forever. And Rita began to tell me about her work in Rwanda. She ran the microfinance program for a large organization. And as she told me about this, when I used to work with elders and seniors, I said, you know, often my clients are waiting, and they're waiting to be visited, they're waiting to be dressed, they're waiting to go to the doctor, and then they begin to wait to die, and then they wait for God. I said, you know, I don't think God wants us to wait. I think he wants us to do whatever we can while we are here.
And so I love that what you said. Say that again.
What I said was, you know, people who are waiting for God and then they begin to wait to die. And I said, you know, I think God wants us to do whatever we can while we are here. And Rita looked at me and she said, you must come to my country and speak to my people. And it was then, Louise, in 2004 that I looked at her and I said, I will come to your country. And I began to read about a genocide where 1 million people died in 100 days in 1994. And I realized I had missed it. But as I studied, I decided to hold an event to raise money for the women of Rwanda for this large organization. And then one night in 2005, before I even went to Rwanda, I raised $23,000. And all the women that came to hear the stories of the women of Rwanda, under each woman's chair was placed a brick. And at the end of the evening, after they'd heard a woman speak about losing 100 relatives in 100 days, and about the women of Rwanda who danced, and Keir Pearson who wrote the movie Hotel Rwanda Speak, I asked them each to pick up a brick under their chair. And I said, this brick represents the weight of a malnourished child that cannot be comforted. This brick is the burden that a woman carries as she struggles to find a way to feed her family. And this brick is the color of the soil that a woman saw when she was being violated during the genocide face down in the dirt. But this brick represents hope. Take it home and remember the people you've met and the stories you've heard. And much to my husband's delight, who had placed 200 bricks under these chairs, all the women took home their bricks. And so when I went to Rwanda in June of 2005, everywhere I went, I saw bricks. And then I came home, and two women who had heard me speak in May said we could do more. And we decided to start our own foundation. And as I stared at the brick on my own desk, which had been sitting there since our event in May, I said, I wonder what the word for brick is in Kinyarwanda. And I called a friend from Rwanda. He said it is Itafari. Itafari. And I said, marketing research over. We are the Itafari Foundation, and we will help the country of Rwanda build Itafari brick by Itafari brick by Itafari. And that's what we've been doing since 2005.
So when your publicist called, you know, and all else she has to say is, Vicky, you know, and I go, oh, yeah, I want to have her back. Is there something new you're doing? Are we still, she didn't send the information for anything new other than speaking. So.
Well, and I loved being on your show last time. I think something new we're doing, you know, I really believe that the wisdom, and this is in Dead Rita's wisdom as well, but the wisdom that we need in life comes from within. So the one thing we're doing is that we're now holding wisdom circles. And the idea of a wisdom circle is very simple, that you gather groups of people together, and, you know, especially wisdom. Women are very good at tapping into their own wisdom. And if they choose not to play small with each other, then they can accomplish amazing things together. So what we're doing is having wisdom circles. And I'll tell you what, I will go anywhere for a wisdom circle, to be really honest with you. And if anyone's listening out there and has read the book, the only requirement is that they read the book. Then what we do is I'll come out and hold a wisdom circle. And all, the only requirement is, one, they have to gather a group of people, and two, what they have to do is everybody has to read the book. Because if they can read the book, they can then see how easy it is to connect to their wisdom. And I would like to come out and help women connect. Maybe they don't need me, and that's fine, too. I really want people to remember the wisdom that they need lies within.
You know what? Last time you were on the show, I actually had an event that I went to in St. Louis. And I spent a little time with some ladies that it had to do with legislation, what have you, and schooling. And starting to listen to what was going on in inner cities is not too off. I mean, the size and scale is very different, but women being violated, abuse, drug abuse, all that other stuff that's going on there. I saw it, and I thought, well, you know, I remember taking the book and talking to some ladies, and I always wondered why you hadn't reached out to groups of women, you know, because I think, especially like you're talking about now, I love that, having that circle, because it's the same story. It may not be the same scope, but it's the same story. You know, for generations, women were property. They had no place. Their place was to, you know, be honest in some way, a form of slavery. You got a wing ring on your finger, and, you know, you were the maid, cook, and bottle washer, and so on. So it was okay for abuse. It was okay for abusing children, you know, because they were not important, okay, in some ways. So I really love the idea of having a circle, the bringing to women here, and maybe so that both women overseas and women here, realizing even though the stories may be different, there's a similar pattern. And together, women can solve that.
Well, and wisdom is not, you know, my stories, as you know, because you've read the book, they're not extraordinary stories. Our wisdom comes from the ordinary. And, you know, when I think about, for any listeners that are Christian, you know, some of the greatest wisdom in the Bible comes from women. If you've read the story of Esther in the Bible, which is in the Old Testament, Esther was married to a king, but she was a Jew, and the king did not know she was a Jew, and she single-handedly saved the Jewish faith. The king, through the people, were going to annihilate all the Jews, and Esther was a Jewish woman, but she used her strength as a woman and her wisdom to save the people. And in fact, I think, I'm not Jewish, but I think the holiday Purim just passed. I know the Purim holiday is to celebrate Esther. So, you know, especially in the Christian culture, we think it is all about men, and certainly it's about many men. But what if we remembered that instead of worrying about where we fit in the hierarchy, we realize that the wisdom we have is enough. And if we bring our wisdom, that is all we are asked to bring.
Mm-hmm. And if women join together with that wisdom, we will unite.
And, you know, even Louise, hold I think on. About, you know, if I came out to you, which I
Vicky,
would love to sometime.
Victoria, hold on. We're going to break for a
sure.
Be right back.
Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go, anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world. Man, this is a lie. Hey now, I'm so in love.
Once upon a time there was an engineer.
Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear.
He had an engine and he sure had fun. He couldn't plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, "Well, my good and plenty." Charlie says, "Really rings the bell." Charlie says, "Love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well."
We are back. And you know what Charlie says? Good and plenty. And anyway, we are back. This is Lindsay Radio, and we're with Victoria Trabosch. And can I just call you Vicky?
Oh, please do.
Okay. I wanted to, we already have a lot of people calling and lighting up our boards wide, but I wanted to go a little bit more on what do we need to do to start these circles?
So what I believe is, like I said, happy to help in any way I can. But what I say to women and men is that knowledge in action is wisdom. And we know a lot, but until we apply it, it doesn't count. That's how we reach wisdom. And I believe that the purpose of a wisdom circle is to understand what wisdom is, how to find wisdom in your own life through personal experiences, teach the value of wisdom to others, and then share your own wisdom with others. So that's the idea of a wisdom circle. And my thought is, the way I'm seeing doing this, whether I come to a different city or do it in Portland, I've already done one in Portland, which was unbelievably successful. But what I see, even if you had 50 women, well, you're not going to have a wisdom circle of 50 women. But if you broke into small groups of, say, 5 people, and you had 10 wisdom circles, all of those women would learn from one another, and then they could move to another circle, or they could build their own circle. So that's how I see wisdom circles working.
Okay. Can I go ahead, and I'm going to jump into a few. We're a little early on that, but we got lots and lots of people asking questions.
Sure.
Nancy in Victoria, Canada, and her question is, are the circles that you're talking about to do in the United States, are they fundraisers for Rwanda?
No. 15% of the proceeds of the book go to the Itafari Foundation. I connect the book to Rwanda and Itafari because the woman that got me to Rwanda is named Rita. But I didn't even think about doing fundraisers with the Wisdom Circles, but it's not a bad idea, Nancy, but that is not, in my mind, the purpose. In fact, if people had their own Wisdom Circle, wouldn't it be great if they decided to have a Wisdom Circle and then do what they are passionate about? What if a Wisdom Circle said, what if we raised money for a local charity or something that we as a group believe is really important? And whether it's my foundation or not, you remember, I don't know if you remember, Louise, but I always say this. I love it if you're passionate about what I do, but what if you believe that you have enough
to make a difference in what you're passionate about. So for me, no, not necessarily at all. Happy to accept any contributions for eTafari, but whether it's a fundraiser or not, first things first, let's gather women to discuss their wisdom.
Excellent. We have Stephanie in Florida, and Stephanie is was talking about abuse, whether it's abuse for a spouse. Even she was even putting here, here's her exact question. There is so much abuse in our cultures, whether it is financial abuse, stopping people from being able to have those things that they would require to live, whether it is abuse for children, whether it is abuse for a spouse, physical, emotional, and otherwise. How best can Americans, especially women, since we're the feminine class, how best can we form together to maybe end things like this? Currently in Congress, they're looking to cut food programs for children, education programs for children, but at the same time, they're not cutting guns. So that's a question.
Great question, Stephanie. So here's immediately, because I do work in Rwanda, here's what I think about. In Rwanda, the women were certainly second-class citizens before the genocide, and they were the most abused. After the genocide, the women decided not to be defined by the genocide, but by their strength and resilience. Now, I want to say something about that. Not every woman that has been through abuse or has seen abuse or believes that it's wrong can fight back. But those of us who have been abused and have been able to take something from it and either become empowered or say it'll never happen to me again. The only thing, well, not the only thing, one of the things we can do is be our personal best. We can help other women by being not strong in a sense of controlling other things, but stand in our own strength, stand in our own wisdom. As I said, what I know is women who have been abused, not every woman can speak for herself. So those of us who have gone through abuse, and when I say those of us, I mean myself as well, I realize that coming through sexual abuse, which was not in my family but an outside person, and coming through that and being who I am, I have a responsibility to be my best in the world for those women that must stand silent. So whether Congress decides to cut funding for school or children or anything and add to guns, that could be a political issue, and certainly we could make it a moral issue depending on our view of this thing. So here's what I say. If I depend on others to take action for what I am passionate about, then I am as good as they are. And for you, Stephanie, obviously this is a passionate issue for you. So I ask you very kindly and very gently, what can you do? Is it gathering women, gathering men even, to say, no more? We must stand up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And children obviously can't speak for themselves. People of abuse may not be able to speak for themselves. And we must do it in a wise way. I don't believe that so much of the rhetoric I hear really adds to the discussion. It adds to the argument. So I would say, Stephanie, not sure where you said she was from. Maybe Florida? Is that what you said?
Florida.
Mm-hmm. Florida. Too bad
Florida.
I was just in Florida, Stephanie, last week. I could have met you. But in your area, can you gather with like-minded people and make a wisdom circle around this? What can we do as people to stop this from happening? I don't mean that as an easy thing. I know that. But all of this is a process. There's no magic wisdom circle. Trust me, this isn't a magical thing. This is like-minded people who are your friends, people that are passionate about this. And there will be conflict within the group how to do it best. But whatever you create together will be greater than being frustrated by what you're not seeing in the world. And as women, many, many, many of us stand on the shoulders of women who have come before us. And I think that those shoulders are what we also give to others. So let us Let us be the change we wish to see, Stephanie. And I think then we can do a little more. No easy answer to that question. I'm sorry I don't have a clear answer. But it just occurs to me instinctually and through wisdom that you have something to offer, Stephanie, and you must have people around you to support you in saying, this is an outrage.
Well, we lighted up the board here, and I'm going to go ahead and do this next one, but we'll probably have to answer it after the break. It's Tom from Texas. He says, my wife was raped and abused, and it has been most difficult for her to come back. I plan to buy your book. Maybe that will help. Is there some way that men can show women and children and other men decency? I haven't seen it recently.
Great question, Tom. You know, as a man who has experienced the cost of rape in your wife, and we do as in our partner, when we love someone so much, to see them suffer, see them hurt, it's greater than if we suffered ourselves. So it's not easy, but one of the things that makes us believe in ourselves is when people stand by us, sometimes no matter how we act or act out. And we act out because we're trying to get it out ourselves. And as a spouse, I would say, I think about my own husband and you know, men, not in total, but a lot of men solve problems. There's a great story of a woman says to her husband, will you go shopping with me today? I want to go clothes shopping. And the husband, in great love, says, you bet, I'll go with you. Now, his job is to go, he believes his job is to go to the store, hunt down the dress, shoot it, and drag it home. So they get to the store, and they walk into the first store, and he has so much patience. And she starts looking at these dresses, and she goes, what do you think of this one, honey? He says, I love it. And he says, let's get it. And she goes, no, let's keep looking. And he goes, okay, I'll keep looking. And they keep looking, and then they walk through the mall, and they go to another store, and the same thing happens, but he's starting to get a little frustrated. And then the next time, they're walking past a coffee bar, and she says, let's stop for coffee. And he's thinking, I thought we were here to bag a dress, basically. And the difference between a lot of men and women is women want the experience of being, you know, we as women, not all, like I said, I don't want to make a generality, but I certainly love to go shopping with my mother. And we spend the whole day at the mall. We didn't necessarily buy anything. Where if I take my husband and I said, John, I need a new pair of pants, he buzzes to the pants, he expects to get those pants, drag them home, and be out of the mall. A lot of men feel like they have to solve their wife's problem. And then they go crazy when they hear their wife on the phone talking with their girlfriend. Because not all of us want to solve it. We need you to listen, men. And if you're not great at listening because you want to solve it and protect them, try listening a little more. It's very hard to tell somebody they need more therapy. Very hard to get them into that. Sometimes asking the right question, instead of solving it, like you need therapy, you say to your spouse who is suffering, what would help you? Maybe it's the church. Maybe it's a counselor, and standing by them as they go through that process. There is no simple answer. If you do buy the book, Tom, there is so much wisdom in it, and what it will do for your wife or you is unlock the wisdom that's already within you, because it is so simple. So your wife, who is very wise because she has survived this, though she's not driving yet past it, she'll read the wisdom and she'll go, I know wisdom like that. It's not rocket science. But it's just believing that we have the answers within. And then she might say, I need some help. Let me find some help.
We have a real quick commercial break, and I can see you, Ryan, and Heather, and Mike. We'll be right back. This is Women's View Radio.
Thank you. someday we'll find all who love are blind. When your heart's on fire, you must realize, look it in your eyes. So I checked and then I gaily laughed to think they could doubt my love.
Wonderful oat cereal that's shaped like a little letter O, and you'll agree. You like that delicious toasted oat flavor, and Cheerios is ready to eat. Just pour out a big bowl full, add good fresh milk, dig in, and start getting your go power. Because a Cheerios breakfast is full of vitamins, proteins, and minerals. And those are the good things you need to help build red blood, healthy bodies, and strong muscles. So enjoy your breakfasts every day with delicious Cheerios and milk. And get that good go power. Then folks will say,
he's feeling his Cheerios. We're back to Women's View Radio. And we have Victoria, or Vicky, Trebosh on. And we're going to continue. We have a few people here. One is Ryan. And I'm going to say this wrong. It now looks like Phoebe, but it's probably Phoebe. In Missouri, he says, my life partner and myself have worked with Habitat Humanity and many other causes. We've recently been looking for causes that would put our energy into. What a wonderful life-changing event, these circles. Thank you, Vicky, for your inspiration. And how can we get involved?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, if you want to know, if you want to know how to get involved with Itafari, then you can go to the Itafari website, I-T-A-F as in Frank, A-R-I.org, read more about what we're doing. I do things for Itafari. I do fundraisers for that. And, you know, it's funny. Our events for Itafari have been sort of wisdom circles for the last 7.5 years. Never thought of it that way until this very moment. But we gather small groups of people together. We tell them about what's going on in Rwanda, and then they help raise money. They give money at the event. Maybe someone else has it. So one of the things we're doing with Itafari is we're building a high school in Rwanda. We just got an amazing gift, big for us, maybe not big for some of your listeners, but we just got a gift of $50,000 from an 86-year-old woman that passed away. And we're using that to get matching gifts. So anyone who makes a donation to Itafari, we will match you dollar for dollar. So your gift is literally doubled for the foundation because we've got this money that we can use as a matching grant. If you want to know how to help with Itafari, please go to the Itafari website and just email me. I get all the emails and let me know what you're interested in. We can talk further about it. We have a very low expense ratio, only 9%, so we're doing the best job we can with a limited amount of money we have. As far as the wisdom circle, if you want to have a wisdom circle, then you need to think about that. And again, go to my website, victoriatrabosh.com, and contact me. Let's talk about what's possible. And whether or not I come out to wherever you are, or I just help you set one up, whatever I can do to serve you, I'd be happy to do that. And I hope that answered that question. If not, Louise, do you think I left anything out?
No, I think we're there. It's almost the same. Heather in Ohio, she said, what can I do to get you to come speak at our school? It's just a community college, but I think the women in our community, this is a lesson that they need to learn.
Well, let me say, and this, what's her name?
I'm sorry, Heather in Ohio.
Heather, I want you to know, Heather, I'm a Buckeye. So to say, this week I'm down in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm meeting more women from Ohio. I was born in Norwalk, Ohio, up near Sandusky, or as most people know, Cedar Point. But I want to come back to Ohio. So again, I don't know. It's not going to take that much. I'm pretty easy about Ohio. So go to my website, victoriatrabosh.com, send me an email, mention you heard me on the radio, and I will call you and we'll talk about how you can get me to Ohio. Because whether, and of course, the more things we can do together, the better, the more people we can reach. Because, you know, I wouldn't come out 1 week and then come out 3 weeks later. But if we could talk about this and put something together, happy to talk in schools. I speak in schools all the time about wisdom and about Rwanda. And I have a very age-appropriate way to talk about what happened in Rwanda, all the way down to school children. And so depending on what you're looking for, Heather, let's talk. And please don't limit your belief in what is possible by the fact that I live in Oregon and you're in Ohio. Like I said, you're a Buckeye, and that takes great stock with me. So I hope we can figure something out. And if you're near Norwalk, I just got to tell you, if you're north, if you're Cleveland and north, I'm your girl. But I'm also up in Southern Oregon, Southern Ohio. I just, I got an affinity for, we lived in Cleveland for a while in 1981, so I kind of love, I love Ohio very much.
Yeah, Mike in California, and Mike's, it's a comment, not a question, but a comment saying is that it's nice to hear good news and ways for us to approach a better way. We have so much negativity. What an inspiration you are. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, thank you for that. You know, I just want to say the news is as negative as we let it be. What if when we heard negative news, we said enough? I want to do something about that. Now, we all can't do something about everything or we go crazy. But if there's something that you find particularly egregious in the news because you know it shouldn't be, maybe that's where you put your wisdom. Maybe that's something you can affect. And if you don't believe you can affect it because it's, you know, a global issue or it's a government issue or it's something else, then how do we show up in the world so that anyone that comes into contact with us doesn't feel that negativity? There's a great story in the book, Dead Reader's Wisdom, about you should look as good going as you did coming. And my mother always, Rita, always looked, she was a beautiful woman, but and her hair was always perfect, and she always looked at the back of her head. You know, she'd get ready in the morning, and she'd look at the back of her head. It was always perfect. I said, Mother, what are you doing? And she'd go, Vic, you got to look as good going as you did coming. And then the wisdom of that is, for instance, let's say you walk into a 7-Eleven or a Piggly Wiggly or whatever your choice is, and you walk in there and you're in a great mood, and you greet the cashier and you get a big smile, and you're halfway through that store, and all of a sudden you go, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be late for something. So you start rushing out the door, and you're very rude or you're very short with somebody, and that person looks at you and thinks, what an idiot. And you know what I always say is, well, your first impression is important, your last impression is lasting. And if we see so much negativity, if we're very sensitive to it, some people don't even see it, so good for you for seeing what the truth is. But if you see it, the one person you have responsibility for and the most impact you can make is through your own actions. So as another thing my mother used to say is, don't let the turkeys get you down. Don't let all the negative news bother you. say, I don't need to show up negative today. I can bring joy to someone coming and going.
I got some people here. They just love you here. I have this one. It's Rita from England. And she said, I am a 15 generation Rita. I used to hate, and I felt bad about every, you know, like Rita. Okay? She says, now I see a purpose. I can go back and say, I've got wisdom.
Oh, Rita, listen to me, Rita from England. I will send you my book for free. By the way, anybody that's listening that's named Rita, you send me an email. And Rita in London, England, I'm not sure they're London, England, I will pay for the shipping of my book free to you. I'm really serious about this.
You hear that, Rita?
I mean it. 500 readers get my book for free. And a 15th generation Rita, I swear to you, Rita,
a 15th generation.
I have the chance to meet you, you are my sister.
Well, I couldn't believe somebody named 15 generations Rita. So everybody's a Rita. So.
I love
Anyhow.
That. Rita, you write to me, please.
Okay. Lucy in New Mexico, she was wanting to know what she can do in her community. Let's say she doesn't have time for a circle or what have you. What can she do to help in her community?
So what you can do first and only do it...
Wait, before you answer that, hold on. I missed my break, and I want to go ahead and grab that break so that we don't have a cutoff. So we'll real quick take a commercial break, and we'll come right back to it. Hold on, guys.
When a bachelor friend of the family tries to tell you how to bring up your children, it isn't very helpful. You want suggestions to come from someone who is more of an authority on the subject. And so it is with gasoline. The paid-for recommendations found in the advertised claims of other fuels are as tinkling brass and sounding cymbal when contrasted with the thoughtful, founded on actual test endorsement, given Rio Grande cracked gasoline by the officials of 30 leading cities and counties of California. These recognized authorities choose Rio Grande cracked exclusively to power their police cars, fire engines, ambulances, and other emergency equipment. This highest, more convincing recommendation has caused a vast army of thinking motorists to swear loyal allegiance to the gasoline which ranks number one with those who know best, because they drive the most. They declare that Rio Grande cracked meets every one of their rigid requirements. Delivers quicker one-punch starting, steady trip-hammer acceleration, the longer reach of economical mileage, extra stamina, and greater reserve power. They know what they're talking about, and intelligent motorists appreciate that kind of a recommendation. If you haven't yet joined the parade of motorists who have made a habit of traveling farther for less money, pull in at your Rio Grande dealers tomorrow morning. Fill up with Rio Grande cracked gasoline and begin letting this police car performance fuel make life easier for your motor and your purse.
We are back. It's Women's U Radio. And we are talking to Victoria Vicky Trebosch. And everyone, by the way, needs to get the book, Dead Rita's Wisdom, Simple Words, to help live an extraordinary life. And this is one we had on a long time ago. It's been quite a while. But again, like I said, Vicki, you're extraordinary, what you're trying to do. Lucy has dropped, okay? So I'd like to do something real quick. We have Flo. She lives in Scotland, but she was born in Ireland. And she said, I remember as a child the terror that came from the IRA and government leaders. You never knew what was going to happen. I understand the fear, maybe not the same, but I understand the fear that the ladies were in. How can we help in our area? And maybe by putting small things together that we might unite women everywhere.
So she wants to help women in her own area? Is that what I heard?
Well, in your area, in Rwanda and also in her area, trying to combine what they already know as far as what they had lived through. She actually now lives in Scotland, but she did live in Ireland.
Got it. So here's one of the things, here's a model that they have in Rwanda. So most of us who have been through something difficult need to tell our story. We want to tell our story. We don't necessarily want other people to solve it. We don't want them to give us our answers. We must tell our story. In Rwanda, there is a group called, and it's Kinyarwanda, so it won't make sense. You can't spell it out very easily. It's called Nyirundumba. Nyirundumba. And it means, in English, speak, I'm listening. And the group was established so that women who went through trauma could tell their story, not to solve it. We can't fix trauma. We can offer resources to help with it. But my first instinct, the wisdom, you know, if I have any wisdom to bring to this, my first instinct is, what if, and it's somewhat like a wisdom circle, in her area, she set up her own Speak on Listening group to help those women who need to tell their stories, because terror lives in us until we give it voice so that we can help to let it go. You know, the voice within our heads is much louder often than the voice we speak. And to be able to tell our story to people who are willing to listen, and we just say to them, speak, I'm listening. That is one of the ways we begin to heal. Not for them to solve it, not to have solutions, just let me tell my story. And in Rwanda, no matter whom I meet, that's exactly what happens. The first thing they do is tell me their story of what happened to them in the genocide. They know I can't fix it. They're not looking for a handout. This isn't a charity thing where they want me to buy them a house. But my instinct tells me that what you can do best is to listen to their stories and then people will often tell you exactly what they need. It's one of the joys of Itafari. You know, as a white woman living in the United States, who am I to tell an African woman what she needs? I don't do that. I listen to what they ask for, and then I tell them whether or not I can truly help them. If they want me to build them a house, which is fair enough, I have to honestly say, no, I can't do that. But I don't offer something else instead. People want what they want. And if you can say, truly, no, or how can I help you get that, but I can't provide it, that is how we empower people. And I'm telling you, people have been through trauma. They're stronger than you know. But if we focus on what has happened to them rather than let them talk it through, so many times we have our own solutions. If you've ever had children, you know this. You tell a children to ask a child if they do something wrong, what should your punishment be? Often they'll punish themselves greater than we will. They know what they did. And in trauma and in loss, we know what we need. Maybe we say, I just need someone to listen to my story. I need to talk to someone. I need a professional. And then what you do is you start to say, how do I solve that problem for people? If you're interested in my work in Rwanda, please go to the Itafari website and drop me an email. Say you heard me on the show, and let's have a conversation. Because it depends on your strength. I do want to go back to Lucy, even though she had to drop off. What Lucy was saying is what can she do in her community? It's the same idea. Lucy, what are you passionate about? Don't do the should. Don't do the could. Do the, if I don't do this, I won't feel whole within myself. And you start small. Please, anyone that's listening and these answers feel too short or too pithy, too quick, please send me an email. I'm happy to communicate with you and talk to you one-on-one because I'm so thrilled to have this opportunity, Louise, but I know a lot of people have more questions after I answer their questions. So do not hesitate to contact me through the website.
Yes, guys.
This is a conversation, and you know, I got an answer for everything. That's what my husband says. He says I'm the shell answer woman, but I do want to bring value. And if the answers seem, you know, they're not fleshed out enough because we don't have enough details, don't hesitate to contact me. I'm happy to get back to you. I promise.
Sally in Colorado, she wants to know if other people can put links to your website on their websites.
Absolutely. And if that is happening and there's a way to do that, all you have to do is, again, please contact me. I want it to be helpful if you need a logo, if you need our information. And if you want to put it on your website and you want to do something specific, we're working in 5 areas in Rwanda. We're building a high school. We support women in microfinance. We buy goats for child-headed households. There are 65,000 children raising their siblings, and we are helping them by giving them goats so they can become self-sufficient. We have a child sponsorship program where people can sponsor children, and we import the beautiful baskets and jewelry from Rwanda. So the one thing that each of us can do is, if any of those sound interesting to your listeners, and you say, you know, I'd love to put a link to my website to help you with your GOAT program, or I believe in education. Education is very powerful, and I want to help you build your school. Let me give you information that will make the story better told. Because anyone who's inspired by this, somebody will go to your website and say, I don't get it. I didn't hear Vicky speak. I couldn't care less. But maybe they will care if we can put that passion, purpose connection together.
Mm-hmm. That's www.victoriatrabosh, that's TRABOSH.com. Make sure you go there, say hi. And also say hi to Dead Rita's Wisdom. Say hi to Dead Rita. I think she's passed that on. Good time. I'm sorry I'm running out of time, everybody. What a wonderful show. I enjoy having you on. You're welcome anytime. I'd also like to say we'll go ahead and keep up any links to your to you and so people can click on and get information and update information. It's a good cause. Maybe we might have to put together any of those artifacts that you were, you know, bracelets, necklace, whatever, if you'd like to make sure get to me a link by which people can go in and purchase items. I think that's a good way of doing that also. So,
yeah,
anything
right now
you need,
we don't
let
have
me know.
Anything on the website, but we will. And I'll also be speaking Monday in San Francisco. If you're in the San Francisco area, I'm speaking at the East Bay Chamber
And I'll be speaking about the power, passion, connection, success by design. So I'd love to see any of you there. And please come up and meet me. I'll be speaking, and then books will be for sale there as well.
We're going to say bye for now. It's Women's View. We're so happy to have you on the program, Vicki. It's a wonderful program. What you do is just, you know, and you'll concede on this. It isn't what you think in life, and isn't what you read or learn. It's what you do with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get out there and help your sisters in your neighborhood, help them in the world somewhere, and help, you know, no one's too old to change. All right. Okay, we're going to have to see you tomorrow. It's Women's View. And, Vicki, thank you for coming on the program.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank
you're welcome.
For your wisdom.
Anytime. Anytime.
Anytime you want me, I'm here
Women's
for you.
View. There you go. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Falling for nobody else but you. You caught my eye, and I've got a feeling I'm falling. Show me the ring and I'll jump right through. I used to travel single, oh, we chance to mingle, oh, now I'm a tingle over you. Hey, Mr. Paulson, stand by, for I've got a feeling I'm falling, falling for nobody else but you. My baby, that's why I